Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. I think this kind of saying is quite easy to understand. If you go to a room, you lit a light. You never hide it in a secret place or even hide it in a basket, because the purpose to lit a light is that people can see it, right? When we go to Africa, I think one of the places that you need to be aware of is the toilet, because when there's no moon, there's no light, and you got to bring your torch to go inside, otherwise you cannot see. You might fall into the hole, and then, you know, it's going to be very terrible. One brother went with us last time. He has a headband light. It's so handy. I like it a lot. I mean, you don't need to hold a torch. Just go and you can see everything, right? It's very, very handy. And you know, it's very stupid if you put a light. It's not very small. If you need a light and put it under the ground it will light the room much better when it is held up or even on your head, right? So the Bible continues to say that then the eyes of your body is the light of your body. If your eyes is bright, the whole body is bright. If the eyes is dark, the whole body is in darkness. Now, recently, I changed my eyeglasses, and to save money, I did not do because I have two problems. One is near sight, the other is, how do you call it? 老花眼, old man's eyes. 老花眼, old man's eyes. Meaning that, you know, it's better I spend much money to have a dual lens. But to save money, I only have one near-sighted glass. So when I'm standing here, the one at the back is like all your head is like a watermelon. I cannot see clear because my eyes is not clear. So I cannot see clear. I cannot see well. So the whole body is not as clear. Then the Bible starts with, it says that, so take heed, the light within you, the light in you is not in darkness. I think our inner eyes is much more important than our physical eyes. Do you truly can see? Can you truly see? What is the first creation of God when it comes to creation? What God created first? Light. You know, God created light first, then he followed the other creation to teach us that we truly got to have light first before we proceed our life. Now you are here. A lot of time, I don't know how well you can see when you do not come here or when you just entangle yourself with earthly stuff. Can you truly see what is the most important thing in your life? Because you always follow your dreams. You always follow what you can see. But is the light within darkened? So you cannot see well. You just follow the tiding. You just, you know, go wherever people think is good. But actually, many people in this world, their eyes are darkened by the material possessions, by Satan. So I want to give you three concepts today. Now, can you see that your faithfulness in your study is more important than your grade, than the school you go to? You know, what is your most stress at this point of time? I think it is your school or your grades. Many people feel very frustrated, very sad when they did not get good grade. They, to the point that they continue cannot get good grade, they give up on themselves. They start to, they give up, so they play video games, they do other things just to make your parents worried. You just stayed up whole night long because you don't do well in school. Or you do not go to your dream school. You feel like you have no face. You feel like you do not live up to your parents' expectation. So you look down on yourself. Now this is ordinary people's eyesight. But you look carefully, really, what the Lord treasures is your faithfulness, your best, not your grades, your school. I know it's not easy for me to see through this until I am a little bit older. But I hope if you can see through this, at least when you get bad grades, but you try your best already, you do not feel sad for whole day long, maybe for 1 or 2 hours. It's only nature, right? But you do not like feel sad whole day long, even, you know, totally give up on your life. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. 2 to 3. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Because you are a student, you are not a steward of God at this point in time. Let me try to read in the following way. Hopefully it can get your attention. If I read verse 2 in the following way, I probably won't change the ideas. Huh? Verse 2, moreover, it is required a student that he be found faithful, meaning that try your best. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be scored or exempt value by teacher or by a school system. In fact, I do not even score myself, judge myself. You know, Paul was paying attention to the faithfulness. God, look at how much faithfulness he put into your own study. It's not the outcome. It's not the results. So Paul says, I do not even judge my performance. He give a sermon. He don't care if people say it is good sermon or not. He went out a missionary. He don't care how many people got baptized. He only care about, do I faithfully carry out the entrusted mission? So to every one of us, we should try to have the same mentality. Do I live a life that worthy of my own conscience? Because I know that I did not fall short of my parents' grace because I truly try my best. I do not fall short of God's grace because I truly try. I preview before I go to school. I pay attention in class. You know, I do my best before exam. But who knows? I got a crazy teacher, right? He just do not like to give A. He always like to give C. What can I do? This guy is really, you know, very, he just like to bully people. Like to, his achievement is make you get bad grade, maybe. I don't know. Right? Some teachers are like that. So, really, sometimes no matter how hard you try it, you still feel like, oh, I'm a garbage. How come I cannot perform, right? But really, the Lord see is your faithfulness. Oh. You know, come back to what Brother Sean talk about talents. Maybe you hear from Brother Sean talk about talents. Some people have 5, some people have 2 talents, some people have 1. Now the frustration comes from if you are given 2 talents, but you always hope for that you can earn 5 talents. Because you only have 2. And people have 5 and always compare yourself with the other people. Hey, how come our other people always have 5 talents, but only have 2? And you're hoping that you can always be there. I'm sorry, but 2 is 2. You know, God give you 2. What can I say? But maybe in study, God give you 2. Maybe in drawing, God give you 5. In athletic, in running, God give you 5. Maybe in hand, with your hand to fix stuff, God give you five. Maybe the one who can study cannot fix stuff. Right? Maybe a lot of people, I'm serious, if you are very smart in study, right? Pay attention to your EQ. Many people with high IQ, very bad in with EQ. You know what is EQ, right? Do you know what is EQ? Huh? Emotional intelligence, right? I know many people who go to the best schools, but they just, 他们只会念书不会做人啊。 They know how to study, but they don't know how to get together, get along with people. Many people are like that. You should be very careful. Oh. So really, everybody have gift. You should not look down on yourself. Nowadays, people, Asian country especially, they only pay attention to your academic achievement. Talk about IQ part, right? But I keep asking you, how come Solomon was so smart? Solomon was so smart because he asked for wisdom from God, for sure. But let me ask you, why he was smart enough to ask for wisdom from God? So you know that Solomon has a very good mother, right? What is his mother's name? Bathsheba. Who is Bathsheba's daughter? Elam. Who is Elam's father? Ahithophel. Who is Ahithophel? The smartest person in the world in his generation. The Bible says, anybody who inquire from Ahithophel as if they inquire from God. It's amazing. His word is like God's word. His judgment was like God's judgment. This guy was like Zhuge Liang in Chinese history. Maybe you don't know Zhuge Liang. He is a very smart guy, right? This guy is, so, you know, a lot, and I recently read an article. I think it is true. A lot of brothers' IQ inherited from the mother. And I think Solomon has a very high IQ mother. But anyway, he has a very high IQ great-grandfather. So he was smart because it was from family gene. Do you pay attention to that? Sometimes twins go to the same school. Because they are inherited, no matter how hard they try or how lousy they did not try, they still go to the same school. Because it was given. Of course, you still need to try. I'm sorry. You still need to try. But the point is that you got to God, pay attention to your faithfulness. You know, I'm old. When I was young, I was entangled by this too. I mean, I sometimes feel very frustrated. My gift do not match as the other people. I still remember one time I was crying when I hear a choir's presentation. I was not there. I was not in the choirs. I was sitting there over there listening to a choir. I was in tears. I was crying. Guess what? Do you know why I was crying? Not because I was touched. They sing very beautifully. Because I feel, oh, come on. How come I sing like duck, but they sing like a bird? I just feel like, I how come God do not give me that? I feel so sorry that I cannot compete. I do not have that kind of gift. You know, but the older I am, I realize that, you know, life is more than one field. Especially now I travel to many countries like Chile, Argentina, or South Africa. I see many brethren without education, or even high school graduate. They earn much more. If you talk about go to school, it's just for money. They earn much more than a physician doctor. And guess what? They are not as busy as a physician doctor. They just get a high school degree from Taiwan, go to South Africa, they open a business, God simply bless them. And they only play golf every day and they still earn money. So in the future, I suggest you, if God's willing, you can own your own business. The reason why is I see that if you own your own business, your time is not entangled. You can serve the Lord. You can have more free time for your family and for God. Oh. But, and this is a personal idea. But come back to the original. Is faithfulness more important than your grades or school, or your school is more important than your faithfulness? To be honest with you, you check with those who are 30 and 40 years old, nobody cares which school you go to anymore, seriously. You check with anyone who are 30, about 30, nobody really cares about which school you go to. So hopefully, Over here, you can see, but it doesn't mean go to school or do good is a bad thing. It's a good thing if you can use it to glorify God. You give in study, you shall glorify God in your study. If you do not give, just maybe do something else. You know, you can be good in something else. This God will always open a way for you, and it will be not as bad. I have a friend who is a very smart kid. Very smart. He go to a very prestigious school. But you know what? He dorms with the other three Gentile students. And after they finished study, he was able to bring these three students into TJC. And some of them become pillars of the church right now. I mean, he's good in study, and he uses good IQ, you know, because he can do it easy, to help his students, to help his fellow students, to share the schoolwork with them. And later on, you know, because they look up to him, he share his life value with them. And the life value have to do with religion. Later on, he was able to use his gift to bring those people to the Lord. So I think the most important is see how EQ you can utilize your gift. Even though you may not be good in this field, you will always be good in the other field. Just try your best. This is what God is looking for. This first thing, right? Second thing that is, think about, now, do you value more about, material possessing or value more about accountant life? Let's read Bible. Huh? Luke 12:15. Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and be aware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possessed. Can you read? Because I think this verse really influenced my life. Huh? Can you read out loud 15 again? 1, 2, 3, go. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possessed. Nowadays, people like to go to good school. Why? Because they think that they have better opportunity in the future. Maybe first year or second, yes, but not later on. They hope that they can more possessions in the world. But the Lord tried to say that the abundance of life, the life is not depends on the consist of the abundance that you possessed, materially possessed. You know, this world judge people with how much you possess. That is very true. I mean, they judge you by what kind of car you drive, what kind of clothes you wear, what kind of shoes you wear, right? One day I visited a truth seeker. He told me that his belt cost him $1,000. I said, what, a belt? The knuckle? Huh? Buckle? It's really like shining like gold. I don't know what kind of material it is. Maybe it's tinted with gold. I don't know. My wife just buy me two belts for $20. And I scold my wife, how come it is so expensive? When I go back to town, I can buy one bill for $5. Then after, I talk to my wife, how come you buy two bills for $20? And then I visit that friend, and he said he buy that bill for $1,000. Then, because my wife visit with me, then I smile at her, no problem. Two bill for $20, no problem, right? And because this gentleman was, he was a hairdresser, designer, or hairdresser. And I noticed that when I visit him, I noticed that he always like lift his shirt up. So make sure people can see his $1,000 belt. I said, wow, that is really amazing. Huh? You know why people do that? Because they judge you by the bag. Do you have an LV bag or not? You know, they just judge by that. But do we need to live in people's value system? Do we truly need to care? The older I am, I'm sorry to talk about myself, because the older I am, I really care more about if I see that my family is a happy family. I want my family, myself, to be a content and happy. I don't really care how much you value me. Don't care that much. Oh. People like to have more stuff because they think they can be happy. But later on you realize, really, I mean, the more you have, maybe the more warrior you might have. That's something I learned. That's something I learned eventually. If I do not have an iPad, I never care if my iPad will, the glass will be broken, right? Or iPhone, if I do never have iPhone. If I have a stupid phone, I never care if I throw it like that, right? Now you have a very fragile iPhone or Android smartphone. You're very careful. You know, you buy a very huge case to make your hand heavy just to protect it, right? But in the past, your smartphone, pah, you don't care. It's cheap, right? Now you have a car, your new car, brand new car. When you park the car, you will have to make sure nobody scratch it, right? But if you have an old, rotten car, you don't even need to care, you know? You don't even need the lock. Nobody will like it. If you live in not high income neighborhood, you don't need to worry about, you know, thief coming in because basically I am in low income neighborhood or middle income neighborhood. I don't need to lock my door. So I realized that, you know, especially, do you realize that when we have Wi-Fi in California, those who have house, they are very scared. And those who are rental, they don't care. Right? Because, hey, I have a rental house. Why do I care, right? But the fire is coming to my house. I'm so scared. So I realized one thing. The more possession you have, the more worries that you might have. And guess what? The possession you have, you only feel happy when you first got it. The happiness always what? Decrease. The longer you have it. So that is about life. That is about life. So pray then, really. I mean, if God one day give you a lot, like Abraham. Abraham had a lot. But his heart, his life is also live in a tent. And really, he tried to love people, give alms, and abide the commandments of God. That is good things. But if God thinks that if you have a lot of possession, you might lose your salvation, you may not given as much. But what truly make you happy? What truly make you joyful? I think it is contentness is really very important. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. I like this word too, because I especially write in a plate and put it in my house because I think I want to remind myself. This is very important thing in my life, in my personal life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. We got to pursue not possession. I mean, you should work. You should study. You should do what a human being or human duty is. But something, so possession is not something you need to put your whole heart to pursue, but contentment is something you should pursue after. How do you make yourself feel like, yes, thank God, I had enough. If God gave me a Mercedes-Benz, thank God, because it won't broken that easy, right? So I still drive Mercedes-Benz. If God give me a, what is a bad car nowadays? I don't know. What is a bad car nowadays? I don't know. I used to say Honda. I used to have a Honda. I used to have Hyundai, in my generation. Hyundai was, oh, that car was so bad. Anyway. But now I heard that Hyundai is improved a lot. I don't have a Hyundai car anymore. But no matter what I'm trying to say, is that you just need to enjoy that. What do you have? And contentment is something that you gotta see through when you have when you're like an eagle, really. When you're like an eagle, when you have the God's eyes, when your eyes enlightened, you realize that, man, I really do not have too much to make myself happy. I examine my life. Actually, I cannot say I'm a poor person anymore. I cannot say, I'm an okay person now. But I think my contentment, my happiest life could be the days that I live in the basement in New York City. At that time, I was a foreign student. I have nothing, but I just got married, and we love each other. The life is hard, but we just feel like, we lack of nothing. Everything was provided. When we need something, we pray, because we are really lack of many things materially. But when we have a need, we just see that God provides little things, but it was sufficient. And we don't feel crying for that, or, empty for that. No, we just feel like, thank God we have love in the little basement. We have love, we are happy, because we have each other. So, brethren, contentment is some secret, we shall pray. How can I be a person who truly enjoy what I have and do not look at that something I do not envy that other people have? This is some secret Paul learned. He said he learned. No matter in what kind of environment, abased, poor, rich, abundant, he can learn that. Rely on the Lord, he can do everything. So really, if we listen to the words of God more often, our heart will be open more wide. And then we feel like nothing really trouble us, because we have peace already. So Jesus is the source of contentment. So brethren, instead of pursuing for possessions, pursuing for Jesus Christ. This is something I hope our eyes can be open. I just mentioned 2 points. Faithfulness or result. Possession or contentment. When you pray, may the Lord enlighten our eyesight. Because this is influence the direction of your pursuit in the future. You are going to be a happy life, or like entangled by many things in life. May the Lord help us. Let's come to the front and pray.